Senator, how would you describe Florida's part in this presidential campaign? How important is this state to you?
Crucial. It's very important. The state Republicans have carried, it's a state that's just very important to us, and we believe that it's turning around. Right now we're behind. We'd be very candid about it. I would guess probably as much as 10 points.
Florida was called close. How do you intend to close the gap with so little time remaining?
Well, there's a great deal of movement in the South, and all over the South, the Carter lead's been cut in half in just the past 30 days. We've only been running now as a ticket since August the 19th, so in a little over 30 days, we've come a long ways. President Ford, in head-on polls with Carter before our convention, was 30 points behind, 32 points behind. The latest network polls indicates it's 7. It's even better than that. I can't tell you how much better, but it's better than 7. So we're making progress.
Carter is perceived as having strong Southern appeal. How do you and the President overcome this in the South? You say you're closing the gap now. What's the battle plan going to be?
The battle plan, I think, is probably a two-edged or two-pronged attack. And I say that in a positive way, not attack on Carter. But first of all, to demonstrate there's only one candidate for president who has experience in the presidency, who has the leadership capabilities, a long experience in the Congress, and that's President Ford. Secondly, and I think very important in the South, as a matter of philosophy, I can't be your geographical neighbor. President Ford can't. He comes from Michigan, I'm from Kansas. Mr. Carter's from Georgia. But philosophy is very important to the Southern voter. They have the liberal ticket, we have the moderate to conservative ticket. It means a great deal when you get into spending, defense, right-to-work laws, taxes. Carter's in trouble every time.
Now, what is Bob Dole's job going to be then? To work the South, to offset Carter here?
I'll do a lot of work in the South. I think we've been in 8 or 9 southern states in 30 days. We'll be back in Florida, I would guess, a number of times, because it is key, as I said at the outset. We're certainly not, there were early reports that we're riding off the South. I think that's been put to rest. We don't say, as I say, right off. We say right on in the South, and we're going to be right on, hopefully, and up until November 2nd. I'd like to have Senator Mondale have our debate in the South in some setting that we can mutually agree upon to talk about the issues. I'd like to have the Southern voters take a look at his very liberal voting record.
Your campaign, then, is not playing catch-up ball anymore, or is it?
We're in the ball game, and I think we weren't even around where we could play catch-up for a while. We were so far out in the park. But now we're back in the park where we can catch as well as pitch, and we're going to do a lot of pitching the next 30 days.
Now, Senator, the President's activity or inactivity in the campaign has been criticized, saying that he has been hiding in the White House. What do you think the President should be doing that he hasn't been doing?
Well, I think early on I made a statement that I felt the President should be more active. But it is a strategy. It's one that's an intentional strategy based on the fact that Congress is still in session, and what we now know would be a great amount of criticism if President Ford left the White House. I could just see Mondale and Carter and other leading Democrats saying, why isn't the President in Washington? Here the Congress is trying to save the country, and the President's running around like he was running for sheriff. So I'm convinced he's doing the right thing. When Congress leaves, then you'll see the President leave. And of course, even before Congress leaves, he'll start going out. He's going to be down in this area next week.
You were saying that you are not our geographical neighbor here in Florida. You're both described as Midwesterners. That's your base of support. Is that a broad enough base to win?
Well, a lot of Midwesterners live in Florida now, and I think it's a broad enough base. It's a base of experience. My 16 years and the President's almost 30 years, that's 46 years of experience we take on our ticket, as compared with 0 for Carter, and 12, 13 years on the part of Mondale. So we believe that if you look at our experience, we have demonstrated leadership in a number of areas, mine in agriculture, and budget, and finance, and the handicap, the President in defense, and he's probably the most knowledgeable person in America on defense matters. Foreign policy, Carter's had no experience. And foreign policy is certain very important to many Floridians, and we just believe that we can't say that we're your geographical neighbor. We can certainly point out that we have the leadership potential. The president's already demonstrated his, and we just sort of feel that we're the best ticket. I don't want to say that immodestly, but we think so.
What does Bob Dole bring to the ticket?
I bring to the ticket, and again, I think probably the president would be the best judge of that, but as he said when I was sort of led before the press on August the 19th, that I've had experience. I was in the House 8 years and the Senate 8 years. I was in state government, county government, that I've been a leader in the field of agriculture. I am a member of the Budget and Finance Committee, know a little about taxation, about how the budget works. And I get along well with people, Democrats and Republicans, and I think basically that's it. I don't suggest that I need any landslide, but maybe I can help.
They say that Senator Dole is a tough campaigner. Are you a gut slasher?
I don't know. I've read about that. I'm probably tough in the sense that I want Mr. Carter and Mr. Mondale to catch as well as pitch. You know, they're great pitchers, but I think we ought to have some catchers in this game. And it's I think one of my roles would be to try to clarify the issues, just as we tried to clarify Governor Carter's position on taxes. Now, he can wiggle all he wants and wriggle all he wants and squirm all he wants, but what he said and what the American people understand, he said, that anybody who's making above the median income, which is $14,000, that's for a family, is going to have his taxes increased. Now, he can squirm and deny and all that, but it's still there. It's on the record. That's my role. That isn't being tough. That's sort of being a point man. You sort of point to something and hope that someone will listen. But I don't never intend to attack Governor Carter personally. Have not, will not. Senator Mondale is my friend. I just think he's a great senator and ought to continue to serve there.
Cut. Election open for you. Do you think the debates will do that?
I think the debates could do that. I'm not, I haven't seen the first one, but I think the debates could really break it open, and I say it could break either way. I think Governor Carter suffers now from vagueness, fuzziness. People aren't certain of his stand on the issues. If he comes across and finally adopts a position, I don't say that critically, but he just adopts one position and sticks with it, it could help him. President Ford, on the other hand, comes across as a strong leader, experienced. That could be very helpful to him.
You're popular with the conservatives. The party platform appeal to conservatives. How are you going to attract Democrats, which you will need to win?
Well, I watched Governor Reagan on a network program last night. Tremendous job. He had both the Republican platform and the Democrat platform. He just tried to highlight the differences, and he appealed to Democrats and independents. I think we have to make a choice. I don't think it's all that partisan. It's not selfish because Jerry Ford and Bob Dole will be around whatever happens, but the Democrats need to take a look at our platform. Their platform has some 65 new increased or added to spending programs and 22 new or expanded authorities for existing agencies. And this comes from the man who says he wants to streamline government. Programs would cost, just five of those programs in the Democrat platform, over $100 billion. Our program has no new spending programs. Our platform has no new spending programs. There's a vast difference. Ours is a conservative document. Theirs is extremely liberal. It's as liberal as the McGovern platform 4 years ago. You just have a different lead dog this time. His name is Carter instead of McGovern.
Now, the Democrats have tried to tag Senator Dole with Richard Nixon and the Watergate era. How do you answer that?
Well, I was the chairman during the Watergate period. I always joke about it, say that was my night off, but I was in Chicago that night. I was sort of summarily dismissed as the chairman of the party not by President Nixon, I think by some of his underlings who turned out to be bad news, but I think that in itself sort of cleansed me of any association with some in the Nixon administration who later had problems. But it's a matter of history. I was the chairman. I worked hard. I have a lot of friends in the party. didn't have any in the White House at that time, so that's probably a plus.
Now, in the campaign thus far, we've been through abortion, grain deals, and now taxes. Have we really gotten to the meat of the problems in the country, or haven't the issues crystallized yet?
Well, I don't think they've crystallized. I think we've really been talking about things that are very important to some people, but you know, the American people are turned off because those of us in politics, and maybe even, I don't want to be critical, maybe even the way it's presented to them in the evening news or the morning news or in the paper, they have a very dim view of anyone in politics, and we're certainly entitled a great deal of criticism. They want to know what we're going to do for America, not on one position here, on a specific tax proposal. What will President Ford offer Americans? Does he have the vision for the future? And he's unveiled his quality of life program in six different areas: transportation, education, recreation, jobs, just to name a few. Governor Carter, on the other hand, has tried to project that same vision. And I really think the American people are looking for that inspiration, somebody to sort of ignite that spark, and hopefully the debates will do this. It's all these issues you mentioned are certainly gun control, right to work. They all have a constituency. I think we have to take the broad look at what really turns on the American people. Right now they're turned off, about half of them. We have to turn them on again and make them want to participate in the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or an independent party.
How do you answer those who say that the president's leadership has been non-leadership, that he is governed by veto? What's your response to that?
My first answer is that I remember when Governor Carter was governor. I didn't remember at the time. I didn't know he was governor, I guess, when he was. But since that time, we've learned that in his 4 years, he vetoed 154 bills in Georgia. And I assume he did it with some justification. And I might say that the surveys are indicating that President Ford gets very high marks for his vetoes. That doesn't mean that people don't want the programs. They don't want to go bankrupt as a nation, and that's what we're talking about. Inflation, added spending programs. And just think where the American people would be if we'd had Governor Carter as President Carter the past 2 years, and we'd signed those 55 bills. We'd have added $12 to $14 billion to the spending in just 1 year. He says Ford was wrong every time, President Ford was wrong, which means he would have signed the bills. I just don't believe that would be in the interest of this country. We're going to stop inflation. That's the name of the game. Inflation's a big issue, a big problem with the poor, those on fixed incomes, everybody, the working man and woman. And he may take a lot of advice from George Meany, Mr. Carter, but I'm not certain the American working man and woman think it's very good advice.
You haven't always agreed with the president's policies. And now suddenly you are his running mate. Are you saying now that you are completely compatible with Gerald Ford?
Well, I'm compatible. We have a very good personal relationship, and I'm also rather independent. And I think the grain embargoes were a mistake. I've said so. Hindsight's perfect, but I said so at the time. And the president made a judgment. He thinks that he did the right thing. Maybe history will prove that. I didn't agree with that. I voted to override some of the president's vetoes. Not many, but some. And I think he respects some independence. If I were like Carter and Mondale, Carter said, we're totally compatible. You don't really need a second person around. You both have the same views. I want to have some input if we're elected. I want to have input in agriculture and taxation and dealing with the handicapped and a host of other things. And if I don't have a different view than the president, President Ford, I can just be around cutting ribbons those 4 years. I guess that's all right, too, if you know anything else to do.
Now, the vice presidency itself, there have been many jokes about it.
That's right.
It's a nothing office.
It's in there or work with no heavy lifting.
Yeah.
That's been one.
How do you view the office?
I view it like, I think, Vice President Rockefeller, former Vice President Humphrey, they both said that there are a lot of things that aren't very important that happened, but I sort of guess that if both Hubert and Nelson Rockefeller were asked to do it again, they would do it. There are great opportunities for leadership, and I think that's particularly true with a man like President Ford. Now, with maybe a president who was not as successful like President Nixon, or maybe even President Johnson, who wanted to run the whole show, the vice president was just sort of in the way, and you sort of kept him at bay. I think Hubert used to drive by hoping he'd catch a glimpse of Johnson in the White House, and Agnew used to wave at Nixon as he drove away. But President Ford is not that kind of a man. He's Gerry Ford. He's the same person he was 2 years ago. He's looking, he wants advice in the right way. He wants me to participate. He doesn't want me to be some silent partner presiding over the Senate or otherwise out of his hair. I think it's a great opportunity for me, and I hope to serve, not to do anything else.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you. Let me introduce our Southern strategy, my wife Elizabeth, who hails from North Carolina. We would let her speak, but she always upstages me, so we've canceled all future engagements. The last time I was in Jacksonville, we had the biggest Republican meeting up to that time in history. I think we had 660-some at a dinner, and I remember the dinner very well. I almost choked on a piece of chicken. So, I think someone mentioned Carter to me then. I don't know what happened, but I am very pleased to be here. Let me say, as we've said elsewhere today, Florida, of course, is a very key state. Republicans have done quite well on a national level in Florida, and we want to continue that in 1976, and we need a lot of help. And we're very pleased to see, and I've been told by Bill Taylor, this may be the biggest single phone bank operation in America. I hope so, because we believe there's a great deal of support for our philosophy in this part of Florida. And let me say very quickly, I also have a relative in Jacksonville, Cheryl, so we're counting on you for some support, too, when you're not flying around with in the air. With Delta. We can't say it very early in what I intend to say. I know who your geographical neighbor is. I can't compete with him on that basis because I'm from Kansas. President Ford's from Michigan. Mr. Carter is from Plains, Georgia, which isn't too far from here. But you're miles and miles and hundreds and light miles apart as far as philosophy concerned. And I want to... And I can be your philosophical neighbor, and that's more important to the young people in front. It's not where I live, but how I think and what I believe ought to be the right course and the right direction for the future of America. And I will talk to you the way I vote in Washington. You won't have any double talk. You won't have any trouble finding my position. You may not always agree, but I think for the most part, you're going to find it a philosophy that pretty much fits the pattern of most Americans. And I say that in all candor and honesty and sincerity. Now, I know that Governor Carter was in Jacksonville, I think on September 10. I think that's about the date. And I know he had a good time here. He had a great crowd. At least it was reported that way in the press. And he is very popular in parts of the South. Let me say that Carter at one time had a spread in the South of some 28 points. And that's been cut in half and more than cut in half in the polls. And we're going to continue to cut it and cut it and cut it until we're ahead on November 2nd with your help, and that's what I'm here asking for. We're not riding off the South. We don't say ride off. We say ride on, and ride on, and ride on. I think Mr. Carter's on a whistle stop today, and he better... stop and whistle about, pardon? He's been whistling about tax reform, and we finally figured out what he means by high income. Anybody who makes more than $14,000, according to an interview that he gave, he's trying to wiggle out of it and squirm out of it and wriggle out of it, but he can't. And he says, and his words are there, that anybody who makes more than $14,000 a year is going to have an increase in taxes if he's president. Well, maybe you're for an increase in taxes. I haven't found many people... Everybody who wants their taxes raised, please hold up your right hand. Well, I'll pass that on to the Carter for President Headquarters. Not a single soul here wants their taxes raised. Anybody want their taxes lowered? Well, that'll come as a great shock to Mr. Carter, because in that same interview,
He said the American people weren't so concerned about having their taxes lowered. I don't know what he's been doing in Plains, Georgia. I thought it was a peanut farm. But I say very honestly and very sincerely that if he's been campaigning for president for 2.5 years and doesn't know what the median income is in America, in other words, what the 50% line is in America, it's $14,000 about per family. That's husband and wife or anyone else in the family. And if you make $14,000 and above, you're in the top half. And I think he's sort of out on the hook, and we're going to leave him on that hook. He's been on the hook on almost everything else, and I won't comment on all of his interviews to different publications. But he ought to stop giving interviews. He ought to go back to his plantation, and he ought to take a look at the tax system of America. He ought to study it. He ought to have Senator Long or somebody come down and explain it to him. And then he ought to make some statement on what he really believes about tax reform. He told us in 1975, he said, I'm going to give you specifics before the year's out. Then he said in the end of 75, well, I'll give it to you early in 76. And now he's saying, well, I'll give it to you after I'm elected. I haven't got time to study it now. Well, but at the same time, he asked for specifics from Mr. Ford, and President Ford's had a tax reform bill before the Congress for a long, long time. Didn't take much action on it, but they did some. And so I just suggest that we take a hard look at the record. And I hope there are Democrats in this audience. I hope there are independents in this audience. Of course, I hope there are a few Republicans in the audience. Now, I think I know Jacksonville well enough to know that you're concerned about a strong national defense for a lot of reasons. First of all, and I've said this, and I think President Ford has underscored it time after time after time, because we had the first real growth in our defense budget this year we've had for 6 or 8 years. And what's Mr. Carter say about defense? Well, he says we ought to stop the B-1 bomber. We ought to cut between $5 and $7 billion out of the defense budget. He's saying that at the very time now that Secretary Rumsfeld says we may have to increase defense spending by some $18 billion. Now, as I said before, if Mr. Carter can tell us where he's going to cut $5 to $7 billion, fine. Let him tell us. But I've got a sort of a gut feeling that most Americans, most Floridians, most Georgians, most Kansans are concerned about peace in the world and our role as a leader in the world. And we want to be number one, not for the sake of war, but for the sake of peace. And I don't want... And I don't adopt Mr. Carter's philosophy, and I know he says those things just to appease that liberal group that controls his campaign and controls his candidacy. And don't let him come down to Jacksonville and talk like a conservative. Let him bring Senator Mondale down to Jacksonville and look over his voting record. Now, if they ever finish the first two debates, the third debate's going to be Dole and Mondale, and I've suggested we ought to debate in the South. And this wouldn't be a bad spot. I've said that at other places. So I would. if we could air condition this place, I'd vote for it. But it just seems to me that you ought to be able to see Mondale in person. You know, he see him on TV now and then. He's lashing out at Ford and lashing out at this and spending more of your money. You ought to take a look at how I voted on one of the aircraft carriers not long ago. Take a look at how he voted on the space program. Take a look on how he's voted on defense generally and how he voted to add $9 billion to the budget. And take a look at his liberal voting record across the line. ADA, that doesn't stand for American Dental Association or American Dairy Association. That's Americans for Democratic Action, the most liberal group in America. And he's one of the top dogs in that organization as far as points are concerned. Now, is that what you want in Jacksonville, Florida? Do you want a president who's been endorsed by the New York Liberal Party, as Governor Carter was last week while he's flying around the airplane? Someone came on board. I guess he stayed on board, and they signed a little piece of paper. He's endorsed by the Liberal Party in New York. Is that what he's been telling you in Jacksonville? Certainly not. He's been saying in the South, well, we may have to stretch out some of these programs. I'm going to halt inflation. I'm going to have a balanced budget. And I'm going to do it all at no extra cost to the American taxpayer. Well, I say, and I say it as sincerely as I can, that we've got to take a hard look. And let me say just one final word.
Can you pour the water there?
Yeah. I've got the water, but, well... I generally drink pineapple juice, and I don't... It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. It won't stick to the roof of your mouth. So... Somebody said, how can you tell Mondale and Dole apart? And he said, well, Mondale will be with George Meany. So, that's one way you can tell us apart. Another way you can look at our voting record. Another way you can study our voting record. And I hope you will. And let me conclude by saying that I've known President Ford for 16 years. We served in the House of Representatives for 8 years. Then I went to the Senate. He stayed in the House. He became vice president. Then he became president. And I think he's done an outstanding job. And I know that Florida was a hotly contested state with President Ford and Governor Reagan. As I've said before, I guess the pity of it was we had two outstanding candidates and they didn't have any. And I called Governor Reagan last night after watching the 30-minute program on NBC and commended him for an outstanding program, for telling the American people, for alerting the American people, for underscoring to the American people that there is a difference between our platform and their platform. And so I just say, take a... Thank you. I just say, take a drink. Distilled peanut butter. I just say, take a good hard look. We're willing to expose our record. I hope you watch the debates and let President Ford tell you about his leadership. Now, they're going to have three debates. You've got to listen to all of them to get Carter's positions on each issue. That's why they're having three. He's got three on defense, three on right-to-work laws, three on taxes. You name it, he's got at least three positions, because he said one time, he's quoted, he said, I never lie to anybody, but I do shade my position from time to time. Well, I think it's time we take the shades off. It's time he lets the sunshine in. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't dislike Mr. Carter. I just think they need him in Plains. Because there's a lot of development going on in that town. And they're going to need his help for the next 4 years because we want a marker in that town saying this is where a candidate for president came from, and he's still here. So I just thank you all for coming, and we appreciate it more than we can say. We're going to be back again and again and again in Florida. We know how important it is. The polls are looking better every day. I can't tell you how good they're looking, but they're looking better every day because people are starting to say, I wonder where this fellow stands on this and wonder how he stands on that. And you get a person on each side of that issue, he'll stand with both of you. And he'll stand with both of you. The result's been that instead of 5% or 10% being unsure of a position, it's gone up to 21% are unsure. And the higher that goes, the more votes there'll be for President Ford. He's demonstrated his leadership. He has the ability, and I just say that I'm very proud to be on the ticket with President Ford. I want to be vice president. Somebody said, why? I said, well, it's indoor work and no heavy lifting. But in addition to that, I've had some experience. I've been in the Congress 16 years. I'm on the Budget Committee. I'm on the Finance Committee. I'm the ranking Republican on agriculture. I know a little about defense, and I know both sides of that issue. And I think we have the experience ticket. Governor Carter, his federal experience is zero. President Ford, almost 30 years. So now we hope to have a chance to come around and say hello. And I just close by saying that people get into different vocations for different reasons. Somebody asked me how I got into politics, and I'm reminded of an interview I had one time, and as I was leaving the station, the announcer said, Congressman Dole will speak tonight. Prior to World War II, he was a pre-medical student. He suffered a serious head injury in the war, and then he went into politics. So I don't know how you got here, but I know how I got here. And all I do is ask you to go to work for good government, for sound conservative leadership, for President Gerald Ford. Thank you very much.